Can anyone really own a food? For instance, quinoa, that ancient grain of the Andes that many consider a superfood. The United Nations declared 2013 the International Year of Quinoa. Its value is skyrocketing. In a matter of months, organic quinoa has gone from about $3 a pound to $8 a pound. The stakes are really rising. Well, we're turning to journalist Lisa Hamilton. She, working with the Food and Environment Reporting Network, authored an article in Harper's Magazine. It's The Quinoa Quarrel: Who Owns the World's Superfood? Lisa, it's good to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lynn.
So, what is it with quinoa? Tell me, why is this so important?
Well, there's a growing number of people who think that quinoa could be an incredible tool for addressing issues of food security in the uncertain future of population growth and climate change. And it begins with the fact that quinoa is an extraordinarily nutritious food. It has calcium, iron, essential fatty acids. It's also the only plant food to offer a complete protein. So it's on par with milk and eggs in some ways. But that's complemented by the fact that it agronomically is incredibly resilient. It will grow in places that other food crops won't, places with drought, places with salty soils, places that are cold. So there are a growing number of people who think that it could help increase food production, particularly in marginal lands, which is something that we're going to need in the future.
Where is it grown now?
Well, the challenge is that quinoa is native to the Altiplano, which is the high plain that stretches through the Andes in South America, in Bolivia, Peru, and Ecuador. And it's a very unique environment. Its lowest points are at 11,000 feet above sea level, and the soil is poor, the air is thin, the sun is blazing there. And even during the summer, there can be these bone-chilling winds. This is where the vast majority of quinoa still grows. In order for it to grow around the world, it needs to be bred by plant breeders down to lower altitudes. And we're not talking about genetic engineering. We're talking about just conventional, classical plant breeding. But in order to do that, plant breeders need seeds. The trouble is that those seeds, that genetic diversity, are owned by the people of the Andes. And they are not interested in sharing them.
Well, you know, it does raise a philosophical question, doesn't it? Because from what I understand, quinoa has been growing there for thousands of years, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you frame it quickly like this, it seems sort of selfish of the indigenous people of the Andes to not share their seeds. But as you talk with people there, as I did for this article, you get a larger perspective on it. The Altiplano is populated largely by indigenous Aymara and Quechua people. It was their ancestors who domesticated quinoa thousands of years ago. And the Altiplano is one of the poorest places in the Western Hemisphere. Within Bolivia, one of the poorest countries in the world, quinoa is this rare economic opportunity. But that's not the whole story. When I was in Bolivia reporting this story, I met a quinoa farmer named Herman Nina, and I met him in his quinoa field. But when he agreed to be interviewed, he said that he wanted to do it at the top of a volcano that rises just above his town in the southern Altiplano. And so on Easter Sunday, we went up this volcano called Tunupa from 12,000 feet at the base up 3,000 feet. And I've, you know, sort of struggling at that altitude. The quinoa farmer, Herman, was chugging along in front of me, politely stopping every once in a while. We got to the top, looked out over the land, his quinoa fields at the very base, and he said, Tunupa, this volcano, is the origin of life. For him and other Aymara people, this volcano was a god, and it was this god who gave them quinoa. And so while our conversation touched on things like patents and international treaties and nutrition, really, he wanted to have it in a context of the cultural, spiritual importance of this plant to him and his people.
And this is where I think things get so complicated because, I mean, does anybody really have a right to say to someone else, you have to share what is perhaps either indigenous or has been part of your culture, a main, you know, or bedrock of your culture?
Well, you know, I think it's a really good question. And for decades, perhaps even centuries, the Bolivians did share their quinoa gladly because there was no reason not to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for thousands of years, seeds were simply part of the commons. They were shared freely. And even as valuable as they were, no one ever considered that you could actually own them. But then in the mid-20th century came intellectual property. And particularly with patents, suddenly there was this concept of ownership introduced. So as soon as someone is allowed to take seeds out of the commons and own them, then everyone has to own their plants. Because if they don't, then someone else might come along and take them. So even if you don't believe in ownership, as the Aymara don't, you need to stake your claim so that other people can't exploit what you're holding.
Lisa, thanks so much for talking with us.
My pleasure, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
Lisa Hamilton's article, The Quinoa Quarrel, Who Owns the World's Greatest Superfood, is in the May 2014 issue of Harper's Magazine. Now, for your own taste of that superfood, head to splendidtable.org and make up a batch of green apple and macadamia nut quinoa from Jane Coxwell. You're going to find that and a whole lot more on that website, splendidtable.org.